This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, and welcome to the latest in an occasional series of readings brought to you by the Times Literary Supplement. This week, we've asked a selection of TLS contributors to tell us which books they're looking forward to picking up as the days grow long. Today, we're joined by Mary Beard.
The book I've chosen is Augustus by John Williams, which is just about to be reissued by New York Review of Books Classics. Now, everybody has been raving about John Williams' Stoner, a campus novel which was, you know, perhaps last year's biggest rediscovery. And I'm afraid that I rather resisted reading a brilliant campus novel rediscovered. But when I discovered that Williams had written an extraordinary epistolary novel about the first Roman Emperor Augustus, I couldn't resist putting that on my list of summer reading. Augustus has always been a real hard nut to crack for a novelist. It's dead easy to be extremely boring about this guy who came to power after Julius Caesar had been assassinated, turned himself from a nasty, basically terrorist thug to an elder statesman, father of his country, over a period of decades. There is something a bit stodgy about him. He was probably best done by, actually, Robert Graves in I, Claudius. But I was intrigued by what Williams's, you know, brilliance would make of it. And what he's done, although I haven't got very far in it yet, what he's done is he's constructed the story of Augustus and his rise to power and then obviously, you know, his consolidation of his regime in extraordinarily troubled times. He's constructed it as a sort of epistolary novel, partly letters to and from Augustus, to and from his associates. It's also little fragments that he's reinvented of memoirs about Augustus, things written by Augustus's friends. And I think that what's going on here is that we're beginning to see quite how diffused and diffracted a person this is. We're starting to see through these different letters and memoirs the way that Augustus actually was never quite a single simple person, is always changing his identity according to who's looking at him, who he's talking to, and who's seeing him. And yet also what I've already discovered in this book is quite how jolly a read, I'm pleased to say, it's a very jolly read. And I was going to just give you a flavour of that by reading from the prologue, which is a letter from Julius Caesar, who's Augustus's uncle, to Augustus's mother. This stage, Augustus is still called Octavius because he changes his name as well as his identity in the course of the book, as he did in Roman history. But I think this passage of Julius Caesar being very Julius Caesar-like, writing to Augustus Octavius's mother about the boy, which is Octavius or Augustus, it's kind of sparky. This is how it goes. "You know something," he writes to the mum. "You know something of my feeling for the boy and of my plans for him. he would be my son in the fact of the law, as he is in my heart, had not the adoption been blocked by that Marcus Antonius, that's Mark Antony, who dreams that he will succeed me and who manoeuvres among my enemies as slyly as an elephant might lumber through the temple of the Vestal Virgins. Your Gaius, that's Octavius's first name, your Gaius stands at my right hand. But if he is to remain safely there and take on my powers, he must have the chance to learn my strengths. He cannot do this in Rome, for I have left the most important of those strengths in Macedonia, my legions, which next summer Gaius and I will lead against the Parthians, or the Germans, and which we may also need against the treasons that rise out of Rome. By the way, how is Marcus Philippus, whom you are pleased to call your husband? He is so much a fool that I almost cherish him. I think that opening gives a very nice sense of how this book is going to go on. And I think that one thing that will stick in my mind is the idea of Mark Antony, who we know best for Friends, Romans, Countrymen. Mark Antony manoeuvring in the power politics of Rome as slyly as an elephant might lumber through the temple of the Vestal Virgins. I think that sums Mark Antony up brilliantly.
You can read our summer books feature in full, including contributions from Helen Simpson, Lydia Davis and Adam Thirlwell, in the June 13th issue of the TLS. In the same issue, Philip Horn divulges what Henry James was doing 100 years ago to the day at lunch with Theodore Roosevelt, and James Campbell traces the promiscuous progress of John Updike. There are reviews of books on Britain's great housing disaster, the life of Michelangelo, and the eating habits of the Bloomsbury Group, a new poem by C.K. Williams, and much more. To find out more about the TLS and to read a free selection of pieces, go to our website, the-tls.co.uk. You can read the TLS every week in print or via our app, available on iTunes and in the Amazon App Store. On iTunes, you'll also find all previous episodes of our readings. Subscribe so as not to miss the next one. The TLS, Life in Every Word.